Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator with myself, David Jeffrey Earl.
And, bulged, is that the word? David William Nicholas Edwards. There we go, the whole shebang, the whole canon of the name.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't think that's ever gone into my head that I've never heard of Nicholas. I thought it was Edwards. David, no, that's just surname.
Absolutely. So crowbarred in the middle is a William and a Nicholas.
Did you know I was a Jeffrey?
I did not know. I was about to say that. I did not know you're a Jeff. Hidden in amongst the Earl.
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. Use it, you know, don't abuse it. Use it correctly.
It's not the cool Jeff either. It's G-E-O-F-F. Too many letters for the name.
I prefer it with a G. Absolutely.
What, rather than the J?
Absolutely. The J's a bit obvious. The J drives a white van as a plumber. Jeffrey, you know, I think... perhaps owns quite a large front garden with two large Volvos. Do you know what I mean? I think Jeffrey with a G, I do like. It's a lot more je ne sais quoi element to it. I think if I was in my 20s, I'd prefer Jeff with a J. Now I'm more seasoned as a man in my 40s, I prefer the G. You change with age. You understand things like fine wine.
And how would you... What Jeff would you like to be called when you're in your 70s?
What
could you spell it in a new way in your 70s?
I would be like Zev. I'd do it with Zev, maybe Zev, something like that.
Why?
I don't know.
In your 70s?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like I'm in a racing car or something, like I'm breaking the speed limit. Zev. I'm trying to think. I don't think you can spell it any way than a J and a G, can you? Without changing the kind of syntax of the name.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one. Jeff. Unless you do it with a C and an H, like cheese, Jeff.
Cheese.
C-H-E-O-F, Chef. Chef, did you chef, wouldn't it? Chef. That wouldn't work. Cheffing. Cheffing, Chef. That wouldn't work. Jeff's got cheffing.
Welcome, David.
No, thank you. That was quite a sidebar, but it's good. It gets the old mental gymnastics going.
How's your movie week been?
My movie week has been an intriguing one. It's been one of more experimental film than usual. I've been pushed out of my comfort zone.
By who?
By the filmmaking Hollywood community. Well, no, not the Hollywood community, actually the Japanese community as well. The Asian animation community in the form of Studio Ghibli. I saw the last, is his name, hopefully I don't butcher this, Miyazaki?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, blimey. I didn't think I was going
to
get that.
Is this a little love letter to his granddaughter or something?
It's his grandson, love letter.
Grandson.
And daughter,
son. You saw this
son.
At the cinema?
I did, The Boy and the Heron. I thought you'd be a fan, so I thought...
You didn't go with
Ryan? Oh, yeah, I went with Ryan. I saw two this week. Absolutely, God, I wouldn't enter.
You went with the heron.
The boy and the heron, or the middle-aged man and the seagull, if it was like remade in West Sussex. And also I saw another film, which is Poor Things, starring Emma Stone.
You know our good friend Chris Hayward?
Oh, yes, yes.
He had some things to say about Poor Things.
Interesting. What did he think?
I'm not going to tell you until you say your...
I think the thing with both of those films is that I've not heard or seen a critic say one bad thing about either of those movies. So the expectations... Well, I try and keep my expectations to a normal, you know, balanced reality, because you can't go in there hyped. You know, you're not entering a new cult. You're not going to have a religious experience. But, yeah, both of them were, you know, both of them are tipped to be big Oscar movies, put it that way.
Which one would you like to review today?
Boy and the Heron.
Then the platform, David, is yours.
As you said, it's Miyazaki's final film. Well, he said that three times, isn't he? Apparently after Spirited Away, so it was final film.
Yeah, but how old is he now?
He's in his, I think he's 83 or 84. And because he's very old now, he can't, because people have said he's a real taskmaster. He's not nice to work with. You find yourself, there's a lot of crunch time involved in him. You find yourself in the studio until midnight. Many animators have left because of his demanding expectations.
And how does that make you feel about him?
I guess it's a case of he never comes over like that. He comes over almost quite Buddhist and spiritual when he talks. Like a lot of people say, are you worried that Studio Ghibli, Mike, may not carry on without you, like Disney has managed to? You know, unlike Disney, Studio Ghibli perhaps won't have those same legs. And he's always said, no, it doesn't worry me. Everything comes to an end. I know Studio Ghibli will just dissolve, like everything in life. You know, very almost like John Lennon being interviewed. And he says the films will carry on, and that's the main thing. You know, he hasn't got that kind of intense legacy, obsessive ego. But apparently he's a real taskmaster to work with. And a lot of the time, a bit of a yeller and a screamer. And a lot of time he'll just take the work off the animators and do it himself.
How would you feel if I said to you, we are podcasting all the time until midnight from now on? And I started screaming, we are, David, we are!
If there was a monetary business model connected to it, I would consider it.
Well, that's how you grow it, isn't it? Just consistency, more. Midnight podding, constantly.
It's a niche idea, it's got to be said. I mean, I'd need to have a lot of Red Bull. I'd need a lot of... but that would just hug me and leave me, wouldn't me?
You wouldn't like to be treated like that, would you?
No, God, no. Absolutely not.
You wouldn't want to listen to the pods. If you heard that I was like, get here at midnight, David.
A podcast slave driver with an audio whip.
And yet people still go and watch his movies.
I know. Well, the thing is, I always think the big example of that is Tom Cruise, isn't it? That it's clear that he is in like a sort of gangster cartel that he's a leader of. But I mean, every film that comes out, I go and check out. It's insane. It's like there's another part of my brain that's told to be quiet when I see him on the screen. I mean, he's part of a proper toxic cult movement. I mean, like mainstream HBO documentaries like by Alex Ghibli, like Going Clear, have just exposed it on a very main, not like these YouTube produced documentaries, but you know, high award winning documentaries that have shown that they have, you know, they've kidnapped people. Tom Cruise is part of a cult that has kidnapped people.
You heard that here first.
There you go, simple as. I don't think he put the actual, I don't think he tied the rope around the people like a Christmas bow type of thing around them. But, you know, I'm sure they mentioned it to him when he was on the Scientology tennis court, you know, firing tennis balls over the net. But I'll still go and see him leap off a cliff on a motorbike and happily applaud with everyone else. It's kind of bonkers, really. That's more than a blind eye.
I'm just going to say hello to everyone that's joined us. We've got loads of people in. It must be the Sunday morning feeling.
Oh, wonderful.
Everyone's sat up in bed, David, watching on YouTube in their gym jams, having cups of tea and slices of buttered toast.
Love, like a Paddington moment, isn't it? Jam, bread the size of a blooming doorstep, like an Enid Blyton tale.
Do you like buttery toast?
Love it. Absolutely love it. I'll stand in the middle of the kitchen and eat it because I can't. I'm so excited I can't sit down and eat it off a plate.
I'm so with you there.
I just want to have my taste buds having a spearmint rhino lap dance on. And butter can do that for me. It's a lovely experience, especially when it's hot toast and it just melts in like a the butter is like an alligator going to a swamp, you know, it just sort of slowly disappears. It really is just you realize when you hit your 40s, that's what life's about. You think you should write an orchestral masterpiece like Mozart, whatever. No, at the end of the day, you just want to eat crap in your fridge. Not actually sit in your fridge, but you know.
Oh, David, thick bread or thinly sliced?
Oh no, nice. Well, my brain is so bonkers to the extent that I'll think to myself, if I have thick bread, it'll fill me up too quickly, and then my butter game will come to an end very quickly. Do you know what I mean? So I'm very much like, you know, I won't be able to have another slice, it'll fill me up. But if I have it, I prefer the thick one, but I'll get filled up too quickly.
Do you ever eat butter just on its own in little cubes?
Oh, I couldn't do that. That'd be too much. No. That'd be too much over the top. Here's a fridge fact for you that Back to the Future, there was a Robert Zemeckis interview recently, and before the car, they were going to do a fridge. And the only reason they said no to a fridge was, number one, because Universal Studios said kids would start getting into fridges. A bit like the Ninja Turtles with kids trying to go into sewers. But Zemeckis said, they did with the Ninja Turtles. But Zemeckis said, no, it needs to be a fridge. But it's only when they started writing the script, they then started realizing, oh God, how are we going to get the fridge from A to B? And that's the only reason they turned it into a car. They were very confident about fridges. Have a snack, go back in time, have your butter and bread and go to the 50s. Save your dad.
Zoe F here has put uncut loaf, big doorstep slice. Ooh. And buttery loveliness.
Or what about some bloody syrup on it?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely amazing. Also Nutella. Or what's that stuff that's really popular now that's made of biscuits? Biscotto something.
Right, what's that?
I don't know. Thank God I'm not sponsored by anyone because I don't remember any brand names at all.
Oh, this is lovely, David. This is lovely. So let's go back to the boy and the heron. How many people watching?
It was literally me and my compadre Ryan. No one else was saluting the Japanese animation flag.
What day? What evening?
It was Thursday.
No one else in there?
Just me and Ryan. That was it.
Did you still sit at the front?
We didn't actually know.
Oh.
We actually sat lots of leg room, though, because you have that, you had the first tier with leg room. Then you have a little kind of alleyway, and then you have the front bit. So we went there. We just thought, what the hell? Sit where we want. I felt like a movie mogul who was watching the first, you know, screening of a film we'd financed. I felt like I should have a cigar.
No one there. That's sad.
At first, I thought I'd like it. And then it was like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. It was like, I wanted to be alone to my filmic thoughts. But then you feel quite lonely and disconnected. The human being looks after number one, but then when they look after number one too much, they haven't got a tribe and they're lost. It's an endless contradiction.
I have that with football. I like to watch big football matches on my own so I can study it. I don't want to be in a pub. I don't want to be in a group of people. I just want to be at home and study, listen to the punditry, study the game. And then about halfway through the first half, I start feeling lonely.
Gosh, that's like life, isn't it? It's like when you realise you want to be married and have kids. You need your own little troop around you, your own little group. And then they turn up and they blooming P-I-S-S-E-D you off. No, I'm joking. Your kids. I'm joking. Not your kids, I'm only joking, do you know what I mean?
What, my kids piss you off?
No, God, no, absolutely not. They inspire me to move on.
What, move on out of the neighbourhood?
No, to move on with human culture and the ongoing human.
Do they? My children do.
Absolutely. Fill me with nostalgia. Bring me back to what it was like when I was young.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. So, go on then. Talk us through. Actually, did you have any snackies quickly?
It's January. We've got to save money. Way too much money was saved. So the old hot dog strategy was brought out the back pocket.
Classic.
In the sense of you've got your hot dogs in a tin and you've got your, what are they called, little buns. We sat there with some ketchup dips that we'd taken from McDonald's, and that was in Ryan's car. And we had a sort of an American hot dog with some Japanese animation eyeball fun.
Okay.
That's what we did. That doesn't really make sense. We had hot dogs and watched Boy and the Heron.
James Springett says, welcome, James Springett. James Springett says, I saw the Boy and the Heron in Worthing.
Oh.
And it was actually really busy. 15 people, maybe. I won't tell you if he liked it or not.
Interested to know if he did or not, definitely. Well, this has been an incredibly popular film. They think it's going to win. If it doesn't get an Oscar nomination, there'll probably be riots. We'll probably have another Hollywood strike on our hands. And they think it's going to kazump Spider-Verse and definitely win Best Oscar. I've heard many a film critic that I respect say they're in tears at the end. Absolute tears.
So I love this setup that it's going to win an Oscar. Respected critics, just a move beyond. And now, what did David Edwards think? Over to you.
Yeah, I mean, I always say this term, and it's hackney, but definitely, personally, my reaction was it wasn't up with the critics, unfortunately. But unlike you, I'm not a massive Studio Ghibli fan. I mean, you're a big, big Studio Ghibli fan, so it might deliver. I felt in many ways that it on a broad format, it was very much, it followed all the Spirited Away tropes. Almost you could tick them off one by one.
What's it about?
Basically, very much like Spirited Away, the boy is an orphan. But his parents don't turn into, quite right, even Disney, even Bambi, in the forest being shot, the mother. The boy's mother dies in a fire during World War II, and then the father takes him away from the village he was in to remarry with a new mother figure who is the dead mother's sister, which is a bit near to home. And he's dealing with his mother, obviously dying. He's now in a new location and setting with his dad, now moved into a new town. The dad builds the glass tops of fighter planes, which is a reoccurring motif in Miyazaki's films, because his father did that. His father also built fighter planes. And it's about the inner boy's grief in the new home that the dad now lives in with his soon-to-be new wife. There is a portal into a parallel universe, and before that, a heron keeps appearing, who is obsessed and follows the young boy. And after a while, it turns out that the heron can speak, and is
ticking all the boxes.
It is ticking all the boxes, and is saying to the young boy, "Your mother's still alive. I've seen her. Come with me into the parallel world," because in the grounds of this parallel world, there's a derelict old building. Mm. And if you go through it, you can go to a parallel world. So it's got that Wizard of Oz, C.S. Lewis wardrobe vibe to it. I would say this film definitely is not for kids. Way too slow and intellectual. Definitely not for... So he says it's a present for his grandson. I would say it's a present for his grandson once he's grown some hair on his chest.
Heron?
Hair.
Oh, I thought it was he'd grown a heron on his chest.
Or a heron, absolutely, because a heron probably would take, well, it wouldn't take that long, a few years to fully bloom.
How long do herons live for?
If I had to guess...
I do.
It's the best way to get through life, guessing. Unless you're driving a car in busy traffic, I would say a good 5 years.
Okay, Well, we're going to do a little game here. It's a heron's lifespan. If you get this right, this is called the Heron Show. It's new on ITV. If you get this right, you win £1 million. If you get it wrong, I don't know, you have your legs chopped off.
Well, you have to adopt a heron, and some of your money goes to the heron's upkeep.
The heron eats your legs.
Absolutely, and it will do if you put some salt and pepper on it. That's a dad gag.
What is the lifespan of a heron?
5 years, I'd say, definitely.
That is mental. You have won £1 million.
Wow, you need to really make the most of your life. No wonder they're going around shouting and flying around making
a noise. I think so. 5 years. The heron lifespan, 5 years.
Gosh, that's pretty crazy.
Congratulations, David.
Well, I'm glad. £1 million. What am I going to do with that? That's a lovely thought, that is.
Yeah.
That's money in the bank. Lovely. Yeah. Get myself some of those Apple goggles. They're always talking about some virtual reality goggles.
Did. So it feels very, feels like I've seen all that before, all those little ideas you just came up with. I've seen it all before.
It ticks off the boxes. And I would say it's the most expensive Japanese animated film ever, apparently, because it took 7 years to make. A lot of that is because he's very old now. And he's very slow at producing the work. Also, another interesting element is every now and then the animation style changes very slightly because you've got a group of animators in to help with the work. And because he's so old now, he had to say
slagging off his age.
I know, I keep doing that. It's terrible. The animators who came in had to take ownership of certain sections of the film. So every now and then, the style and tone, very slight, very subtle, changes. Because he was such a control freak when he was younger, he would literally take over the work at the animator's desk. So they do tweenies, don't they, with animation, where you animate in between the head animator's main drawings. And he'd start doing things like that, like the really rudimentary basic animation, but he hasn't got the eyesight or the actual energy anymore to do that.
You're really slagging him, this guy.
Oh, no, I'm not at all. The guy is, basically to pay for it, they had to sell all the rights to video streamers already.
Did it look beautiful?
I sat there thinking to myself, this looks like a Saturday cartoon. And I know I'm going to have, people are going to chuck rubbish at me at the street, and I'm going to have canine defecation put for the letterbox, because people love these Studio Ghibli films. I tell you now.
Well, you don't like the look of them.
I'm not.
I think they're absolutely beautiful.
I loved Spirited Away, and I would say the visuals in Spirited Away were a lot more. There's an amazing image where it's almost Sal. Who's the guy who does the melting clock?
Dali.
There's an element of that near the end that was impressive. You have a time corridor that's nice, but some of the imagery, it's not as surreal and as interesting as like Spirited Away, using it as a continual example. It's quite repetitive, I felt. There's lots of multitudes of animals a lot of the time, like herons or toads, which at first was interesting. It's like, well, we've kind of done this, whereas Spirited Away went to lots of different arenas and locations and gave you new things.
DDDPPP says Kermode wouldn't have guessed the lifespan of a heron.
Thank you. There you go. I love one-upmanship.
And then DDDPPP says, a Saturday cartoon, the ultimate diss.
Do you remember City of Gold? Philip Schofield. It had that vibe.
Philip Schofield?
Philip Schofield didn't make City of Gold, but he used to present it in broom cupboard.
In the cupboard, yeah. I never liked that.
I was never a fan. And Unices, do you remember that was on?
It reminded me. That was on ITV, wasn't it?
Absolutely, that style of animation. Which I know is appalling. It's the most expensive Japanese film ever. It took 7 years. I've done nothing for 7 years. Even a heron within the 5 years of their lifespan has done more. So,
than you?
I would say definitely within those 5 years.
No, I haven't seen a heron, review movies on a podcast.
This is true. Well, he's got 5 years. He's too busy for cinema. He's going straight to the Bible. He's probably trying to find spirituality. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's gone
well. Did Ryan like it? It's always nice to get a little bit of balanced. What did Ryan think?
Ryan said I wasn't in the right mood for that. Like, do you know what is fascinating? I, after the film, listened to a lot of Studio Ghibli podcasts, which I found utterly fascinating because they deconstruct the film and they talk about the symbology, how the narrative act structure is very different to the Western act structure. One thing is, in Western, our narrative storytelling, we always need conflict. In a lot of Studio Ghibli films, because it's Asian, Eastern, you don't need conflict. It's just an outside thing, and sometimes it's just bad luck. You know, it's just nature, evolution. And it's a five-act structure. It's not a three-act structure. And it's bizarrely, sometimes with films, I enjoy just listening about the podcast and thinking, what you're describing to me is a fascinating film. But when I sit down and watch it, I'm semi-bored. It's a very bizarre, and it makes you realize that films are more than just the topic and the narrative. It's a lot more to do with the character's point of view, the pacing, the actual rhythm of the film. Because the first act of this goes on a long, long time, and he's just followed around by a heron for a good 20 minutes before the heron even starts talking.
Did that annoy you, the heron? Were you like, how long before you were like, this is pissing me off?
Well, then he went probably about 25 minutes. Then he went into the actual, when he goes to the parallel world and they start teaching him about the rules of the parallel universe, and he meets an old man who's the creator of this world, who's basically Miyazaki, you know, and he wants to pass this world on to the boy, a bit like the grandson, Miyazaki's grandson. That was good. It definitely had moments that spiked my interest, but it just wasn't consistent. You know, it definitely had moments that grabbed me, certainly.
Well, I'm the same when I watch his movies. I'm like, I like sections of them.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say that's very similar to my experience with this film, 100%. Ah,
okay, right. I've got a picture of you and Ryan, in that empty cinema watching it, sort of frowning.
No, there were moments that were interesting.
Right. Did you, because you were, you didn't hate the film, but did you have any moments where you were like...
Yeah, there was one bit where he builds an arrow to try and kill the heron. And this arrow building goes on forever. It's like a Rocky training montage, but he's building a DIY arrow. And I was just, or bow and arrow rather. I just thought, bloody hell, mate, this should be done by now. Do you know what I mean? Let's get on with it. Just turn up with the arrow. I'm not going to slap your wrists and start talking about continuity errors.
So why wasn't it done by now? Why did he make that decision to just not get on with it?
I think ultimately he wanted to lay a lot of character groundwork to make the kid three-dimensional. But I found the kid just sometimes just too stoic. I didn't feel as though there was a bit of inner conflict towards, obviously, his mother dying, trying to, like, re-embrace a new mother in his life, his mother's sister.
His auntie.
His auntie, which is a bit odd. And... but ultimately, the kid's just your plucky hero that you get in most childhood films. But it's a film not for children. Not at all. There's a lot more going on. But I don't want to be negative, because there are some very good elements to it.
James Musgrave, welcome, James, says, it's certainly not a Ghibli film to watch if you're going fresh into them. It's quite complex.
Very complex. Once it was explained in more depth via these podcasts, I was... a lot more enamored by it. But as I say, it does make you realize that it's how you execute a film. So much of it is about pacing, I find, and how you tell the story. Like, you come up with the idea for the Truman Show, you know, really fresh and new, a man who lives in a TV show, but it's how you execute that. I think you could make a film about a man with a shopping list going to the co-op, and if you paced it correctly with the right timing, I think you could pull something off.
Yeah. Do it.
I genuinely... What was
no,
that?
Do it.
Don't talk, prove it, Dave. Do it like the heron. Flap those wings.
Well, could we possibly, off the back of someone's comment, could we possibly, I'm just thinking on my feet here, just for a little punchline to this section, do a scene where two herons and you play the Herons, are watching a film about you and Ryan, and they're talking about the film they're watching. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how Aaron speaks. Do they come from France? Are they European?
Do they come from France?
I don't know where a heron actually originates from.
Well, I just saw him like that kind of thing.
Look at them sat there, chomping on their hot dogs, lost in the consumer Hollywood maze. We're no better. We're always just looking for the next rubbish bin so we can just chomp on leftover fish and chips. But we need that for our diet. If not, we'll die. They don't need Hollywood. Oh, don't you say that. They need Hollywood for their dreams. Fish and chips might fill our tummy, but Hollywood fills their heart. You got a point, you got a point. I think those two guys ain't too bad after all. But Top Cat.
You got a little roll then,
didn't you? Yeah, I don't know why I went with that. I think it's too early in the morning, I think I got lost.
That was wonderful. Two French herons.
Absolutely. Turned American. They were Hollywood-fied.
Al Pacino is the heron.
Absolutely. The spin-off. It's very meta-narrative, a film about film.
Right. So, David, now it's time to rate The Boy and the Heron out of five choc ices. Wow. I'm going to have my little guess. If people in the YouTube comment box, thanks for joining us today, everyone. If everyone could have a little guess as well. I mean, it wasn't very positive, but you definitely said you liked bits and pieces in it, so you sort of said you were bored. Are you going to stick to your guns? God, and this is a much-loved film as well.
Oh, very. It's going to win the Oscar.
So what the fuck are you going to give it? I would say there were hardly any positive comments in that review, but there was the odd one. Okay. Okay, I'm going for this. Okay, right, David. So, The Boy and the Heron. How many choc ices out of five are you going to give it?
It's controversial, but it's a 3.
Oh!
It's that 0.5 that gets in the way. It really does.
Okay, yeah, 2.5 I gave it. A lot of people thought you were going to give it a 3.
Yeah, definitely a 3 for me. It's not terrible, but... Do you know, if I worked for Empire magazine and I gave that film a 3, the editor would ask me in. They'd find it way too controversial.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, because it's done really well at the festivals. Absolutely. Also, you know, he's got such a following.
Yeah.
They did zero marketing for the film. A lot of people said that his name alone is such a brand name. The poster was almost lazy. And the trailer was really basic. And they did almost zero marketing. Because it's just word of mouth. Articles would just naturally be written about it.
Empire gave it a 5.
Yeah, everyone did. I mean, the other thing is, people say they were crying, and I think to myself, when were you crying? At what point did you cry? I can't even see a weepy moment. But as I say, there were some interesting points, particularly when they discussed the rules of the parallel universe and when the old man appears. There were some interesting moments.
David, you know, before we came on, I said I've got to be done by 10.
Yes.
And we split the podcast into sections, and then we worked out we got to about 8 minutes per section. We've done 40 minutes for the first section.
It might be a case of going straight to the main review then and do the general.
Bollocks.
40 minutes? That can't be 40 minutes. Well, we can do it very quickly. I can give you news very quickly.
Yeah, we've got. Okay, so we've now got 20 minutes left. We've got to get through the news, the random movie. I don't like rushing it. The random movie review, the tips, and the bloody doodah at the end. We got 5 minutes a section.
Let's go for it then. Shall I go movie?
Ah, sorry, everyone. It's just one of those weekends.
Is it movie news now? What is it?
Well, hang on a minute. David, thank you so much for this week's... You said it earlier. What should we call it? Movie of the week?
Yeah, movie of the week. Goodness
me. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, Dave, you got any movie news? The clock is counting.
Here we go. So, movie news. Basically, Tom Cruise originally said that Maverick 2 was going to be the end of the Maverick franchise. It was just two bookmark movies, you know, one from the 80s, one today, but, you know, modern times. But they are now developing a Maverick 3 with Glenn Powell and Miles Teller carrying on the relationship with Maverick. So, and it's going to be the same director and writer. The other interesting thing with Tom Cruise, though, is he has signed a massive multi-million dollar deal with Warner Brothers. And he can still make another Top Gun and further Mission Impossibles with Paramount. And he's doing a space movie, which he's going to film out in space for Universal Studios. But he's now signed a massive deal with Warner Brothers, which sounds a bit, doesn't sound great if I was Warner Brothers, because it sounds like he's got loads of, he's going to be tied up with loads of other projects. Another just very quick thing. Danny Boyle, Alex Garland are coming back for 28 months later. They're both going to do come together and collaborate on another zombie film. And if it does well, they might do another trilogy.
Okay. Well, we've got 3 minutes to play with, so...
The next Star Wars film that's going to come out in cinemas,
oh my God,
is a Mandalorian movie.
Okay.
And it's going to be directed by Jon Favreau, who created the Mandalorian TV show. And that just fills me of not much glee. It just feels quite lazy, the idea of just taking one of their TV shows. And the TV show looks cinematic anyway. So it had a massive budget because it's a prestige drama. So it's just going to be an extra long Mandalorian episode that goes to the cinema. So it doesn't fill me with much inspiration.
I introduced my boys to Star Wars for the first time, David.
Oh, wow! Did you show them New Hope? What did you show?
Is that the first one?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was like a big old moment to sit down and with them, and I felt like they were the right age. Yeah.
What did they think?
They loved it. They loved
it. Wow.
To the point where my youngest has now just got a rucksack with a stormtrooper on it.
Oh my God, big fan already.
Yeah, it did make me go, oh wow, it's connecting again.
That's amazing, generation. Isn't it? Do you know what I mean? The storytelling's so strong. It does make you wonder I think the new films, they are still popular with younger kids. Do you know what I mean?
I'm looking forward to watching these films and then moving to the new ones, because they're going to obviously want to watch them. So it'll be nice to watch them, because I think I've watched one of them. But with folded arms and sort of...
Well, you know, kids who grew up watching the prequels that we diss, like Phantom Menace, they absolutely love. There's a new generation... Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a generation out there. I work with people who are like in their late 20s, and they love the pod race. They love Jar Jar Binks. They grew up with it. It's like Hook. People who grew up with Hook absolutely love it.
I mean, Yoda's ridiculous. When I watched it again, I was like, why is he any different from Jar Jar Binks?
Absolutely, the Ewoks people dissed in the 80s. I grew up with the Ewoks, and I have a love affair with them. I think they're brilliant.
Well, you own the village.
I do. You're quite right. Well, remember, that was Christmas of 82 or whatever.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Thank you so much for this week's movie news.
Not a problem, Captain. Not a problem at all.
David Edwards, Random Movie Review.
This week's Random Movie Review, I'm imagining if we were on a radio show, if suddenly someone went, you've got the Thursday slot in the afternoon on Radio 1, David comes in for an hour and does his movie. This is how we'd have to be. Bang, 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 bang.
Oh, God, professional. Simple as that. You've got to.
So it's good training.
Absolutely. Definitely for when the BBC headhunt me.
So, So, Finley.
Oh, here we go. She's gone. She's left us.
Mandy's, no, she's gone to Thailand for the month.
Thailand, what a robotic, I don't know, T-A-R-T.
Tart.
Little tart, yeah. Say no more. Finley's
obviously. Well, Finley's here, and Finley generated the movie
Predator.
Predator.
Schwarzenegger.
Right. You got 7 minutes, David.
Basically, I hadn't seen Predator for like decades. I remember, do you know what? I haven't seen it for absolutely ages. I remember watching it with my dad and being very young. Do you know what I mean? I remember sitting on the lounge floor whilst he sat on the couch drinking a Heineken's. So it seems a long, long time ago.
You remember the drink he was drinking?
Well, he's a Heineken man all the way. Unless it's a whiskey. So if it's a can in his hand, it's going to be a Heineken. What was the can in the 80s where it was a bear that advertised and the bear wore a pork pie hat?
Yeah.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah, I
believe it was that brand.
Yeah. Is it Don't Follow the Bear or Follow the Bear?
I think it was Follow the Bear.
Follow
if
the
you've
bear.
Got a drinking issues and you want to, you know, medicate yourself, Follow the Bear.
Hofmeister.
Yes, it would have been a Hofmeister, not a Heineken. So there you go, I was wrong. The memory can betray you. Basically, I would say...
That's 1.5 minutes gone on Hofmeister.
Sorry, I apologise.
No, that's my fault.
I'm not even sponsored by them. Basically, it's a case whereby I would say I look at Predator now and I'd say it's absolutely Marmite. I mean, more Marmite than... I'd say it's Marmite mixed in with Bovril. It's either going to be your catnip cocaine or it's going to absolutely turn you off 24/7 in the sense that, you know, if you like action movies, it's got everything. Do you know what I mean? It's just perfectly well executed. Iconic action star. He's not a character. He's not three-dimensional. He's a movie star. So if you can go with that, you know, if you want a three-dimensional development of a personality, you don't get that at all. It might as well be Michael Barrymore presenting a quiz show. Do you know what I mean? In the sense that it's just a personality on screen. It's not an actual organic character. Do you know what I mean? And that's it. Or it might as well be Jonathan Ross. Do you know what I mean?
David, we're not... People listening aren't all 50 years old. What is Predator about?
Sorry, you are totally and utterly right. We have a group of army troop, a platoon in the jungle, and they're moving through the jungle to get to be picked up and taken out of the jungle. They're an American troop, but there's something in the trees that's actually attacking them one by one. And they start realizing this creature, well, at first I think it's a person, has got supernatural abilities. And the actual weaponry it's using is futuristic. And what we start realizing is they're being hunted for sport. And this creature is an alien, and it has futuristic gadgets, which makes it invisible. And we can see through its eyes at times. Every now and then, the director, John McTyron, cuts to the Predator's POV, which spies on the men from the treetops and looks at them via their heat sources. And one by one, the troop is killed off. Not all of them. I'm not going to spoil anything. But it's pretty much up to Arnie to use all his military training and Austrian tree trunk might to take on this beast. So the plot is very basic. It's man versus alien.
1987, did it come out?
It is 1987. Let me look.
It scared me.
That's correct. Yeah, it's quite a horror factor.
I remember when it came out, it scared me. I was very unsure about watching it. I was worried about what I was going to.
It's got an action. Well, it's got, the more I think about it, it's got a slasher horror element. The idea that, you know, group of people, they're killed one by one. It's got a Friday the 13th sort of vibe, but ultimately it's an action movie.
So you sat down, I imagine, with a crumpet. Even if you weren't eating a crumpet, you were thinking about crumpets.
Oh, God, I was thinking about, I had a crumpet this morning. I bloody love them.
Were you excited about going back to this movie?
I was very much so, absolutely. I think it's got iconic action star power, very much a suspenseful plot. I mean, the infrared POV shots of the Predator spying on the group is great.
I remember that, yeah.
Where he's obviously looking for a helmet, a monitor, and he sees everything via heat, which is very clever. Also, information about the Predator slowly given to you, like you see green dripping from a tree and you realize it's blood and that Arnie has managed to injure him, you know, things like that. So they slowly reveal more and more information about the Predator, which makes the third act even more juicy, if you like. The music, it doesn't turn into a musical. Who knows, they might do that later, like they did with Mean Girls and Color Purple. But the idea of the music's very foreboding and dark. There's something in the trees swinging around with a laser gun attached to its arm.
There's something in the trees.
There's something in the trees. Yeah.
Feels like a Phil Collins song.
Absolutely, like his Tarzan movie.
That's what it is.
Swinging
there's something in the trees.
Yes. Something in the trees.
Uh-huh.
He's now in the trees, standing on a branch. Oh, yeah. Intense action sequences. The initial attack on the rebel camp is really good. So loads and loads of action sequences. It's John McTiernan, the guy who directed Die Hard. He knows his stuff.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
What's he done since, David?
Not much, because I think John McTiernan has passed away. I could be wrong.
You can't film when you...
Absolutely no, not even now. You can't do it, even with the technology we've got with the metaverse. But also, he went to prison for a period because of tax, dodging tax. So it didn't end brilliantly for him. He found himself in prison and then shortly after in a grave. But he had a lot of Hollywood fun beforehand.
God, isn't it mad looking back on people's life? He didn't know all that was...
I know.
But the idea, like, the end of your life, you go, well, he did a podcast, then he ended up in prison, then he ended up in a grave.
God, what a nightmare. Yeah, you never know absolutely, you never know what's around the corner.
Just keep life simple.
Absolutely, just avoid the jails, for crying out loud. Just pay your tax, people, pay your tax. And also lots of great one-liners, you know, I'm going to have me some fun, get to the chopper, that have become really iconic. Do you know what I mean? It's so I think basically though, if you
raced along, rattled along,
yeah, oh God, definitely, absolutely, absolutely.
I bet
the narrative structure though, if you're not an action star fan, is quite simplistic. It's just like everyone being killed off one by one. It's almost like a video game, and there isn't a big character arc. All you've got on screen is Arnie. If you're not a fan, it's basically cat and mouse. It's a Tom and Jerry, but with an action budget and muscles. Simple as that.
So, David, I've got to... The clock is ticking. People are actually doing the countdown of the clock in the chat. So, let's have a guess at what David is going to give Predator. It's such a shame we couldn't spend a little bit more time on it, but here we are. I'm going to go for... Now, that was very positive. So if you can have a little guess, I'm going to go for this little number here and see. You seem very excited by it. You said it's not everyone's cup of tea, but you obviously enjoyed it. It rattled along. Lot of pleasure to be had. David, how many choc ices out of 5 are you going to give Predator?
I'll give it a 4.
Whoa!
There you go. Absolutely. You ain't going to break cinema.
Why not a 5?
Well, it's not... it hasn't... It's not completely breathtaking. Like, that was new to the era. That was a brand new take on things. It's just a highly well-executed film within its genre.
Toodlebug says 4. DJ Swad guessed 3.5. Wolford guessed 3.5. Jonathan Beale, 4.5. Peter RM, 3.5. Dr. Greggles, 4. Tonka, 3.
Tonka, that's a new name. Not a new name as in, like, you know, a new name ever, but just a new name in the chat box.
Yeah, do you remember the Tonka truck?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely. Big fan of those. I had several.
David, thank you. You didn't have that bloody... Was the Tonka truck that delivered, like, your mum and dad a toast in the morning?
Yes, it
was. No, Big Truck.
That was Big Truck. It was like
an automatic one. Did you have a Big Truck?
No, but my brother did.
Right, I was nowhere near being able to have a Big Truck. That was another level.
I think my uncle bought it for him.
Wow.
And he had a lot of money. He was a bachelor then. And he was on TVAM with Anne Diamond. He would appear as a child psychiatrist.
Your uncle?
Yes, yeah, he was the child psychiatrist that would appear when there was any dramas relating to children. And he'd be on TVAN on the couch. And I think that was the same year that my brother got a Big Truck and I got the Ewok Village. So he had TV money swirling around.
May I ask his name?
David Pithers. And he co-wrote a book with Sarah Green, believe it or not, called Just Say No to Strangers. He was quite a celebrity.
You've never said this before. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know why I never... I think just say, if you write Just Say No into Google, Sarah Green, David Pithers, they co-wrote it together.
That's incredible. What an incredible little bit of info there. We can say no.
Pithers, we can say no.
David Pithers, Sarah Green.
Yeah, there you go. Classic bit of authorage.
David, thank you so much for this week's random movie review.
Thank you. Thanks for your time and your energy and your passion.
Movie tips.
So, we've got 3.5 minutes for movie tips. What you got, David?
Movie tip, definitely. A film to check out. They did well at the festivals, now on Netflix. It's called Society of the Snow, and it's about the Spanish or Argentinian European rugby team who crash on a mountain, and they've got to survive out in the mountain. It's the other film, isn't it?
That's
Alive was based on it, but apparently this one is a lot more truthful to the real source originally. And it's
What's it called again?
It's called Society of the Snow. It's the director who directed Orphan, the horror film that did very well, the Spanish horror film, but also The Impossible, which was the tsunami film starring Ewan McGregor. And they believe it might be like All Quiet on the Western Front and nip in with a few nominations for Netflix again. It's out now on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching. It's very good. Very naturalistic.
Is it very good, David? You really recommend it?
Definitely. Yeah, it is good. I mean, I wouldn't give it 5 out of 5. It's 4 out of 5. Jeremy, it's not the best thing I've seen this year. But I was annoyed at times that I wasn't able to see it in the cinema. It's one of those Netflix things where I think this would have gone down well in the cinema, but instead it comes out to the festivals, it gets selected theatres so it can be nominated for an Oscar, and then you just got it on Netflix.
Jonathan Beale, watched it last night. Outstanding.
There you go. It's definitely a recommendation. If you like your survival films, you know, put your seatbelt on, get involved.
Alvin Holler, really enjoyed it. DDD PPB, solid fourer. Really enjoyed it. Martin Garner, saw it last week, watched it last night. Very solid film. Oh, that sounds good. Thank you, David. That's a wonderful movie tip.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, do you know what? I trust your movie tips, David. I really do.
Oh, that's good to know. That's
very good. I think everyone does in the little community. We trust your movie tips.
Fingers crossed.
And we touch your smoothie nips.
Absolutely. Only do that if you ask beforehand, though. That needs to be done with consent.
Thank you, David, for this week's smoothie nips.
Absolutely. Smoothie nips all the way. It takes a long time to smooth them, but I think I got fans because of them.
David Edwards, random movie generator.
Oh, Okay, here we go. So, the random movie generator. Finley's there. You all right, Finley? Oh, do you want a bubble gum, David?
Yes, please. I have a bubble gum, absolutely.
Whoa! He's just thrown one over. There you go, David. I'm
chewing away on that. That's got a lovely taste to it.
Okay, here we go. Right, David, let's pick the genre of the first movie that you might be reviewing next week. Now, we know Finley was chucking action movies at you. You seem to really connect.
Oh, God, yeah.
So hopefully that won't kind of cause an issue.
That toxicity is not going to ruin things. You're quite right.
Okay, here we go. So it's time for you to choose the genre of the first movie that you might be watching next week. Take your time.
Stop.
War.
Ooh, that's a genre I can bathe in. Not that I promote war, but as a viewer, it's compelling.
Watching it.
Yes, from afar, in a bunker.
Now the decade.
Stop.
1970s.
Okay, that's got potential.
Finley, please generate 4 war movies from the 1970s. Finley has. And now he's spinning them around in his bum this week.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's over to you to tell Finley when to stop spinning.
Stop.
Patton.
Oh, that's Francis Ford Coppola wrote that and won an Oscar.
Really?
That got him on the platform to be taken seriously in the industry and to be considered for Godfather, bigger A-list projects. Yeah, he
got okay. It.
Yeah, that was his first step up the old cinematic ladder.
Right.
Didn't direct it, but wrote it a bit like Oliver Stone, was a big script writer before being given the directorial reins.
Right, here we go. So, the second genre of the movie that you might be reviewing next week. Over to you.
Stop.
Fantasy.
Ooh, you've got to have a bit of escapism. You've got to leave Tesco's behind.
And now please choose the decade.
Stop.
2010s.
Okay, fancy. 2010, what could that be?
So, Finley has generated 4 fantasy movies from the 2010s. And now it's over to you, David. Sorry about that. Tell Finley to stop spinning the movies.
Stop.
Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh, that's a sequel starring John Boyega. That would be interesting. I'll be interested in that. Didn't do particularly well in the box office. It was supposed to be the start of a franchise, wasn't it? And Del Toro didn't direct it. He produced it. But I'd still be interested in checking that out. It also stars the girl who was in Priscilla that we were talking about from last week that's going on to big things.
DJ Swad says, I cannot imagine Finley generating a rom-com. But we shall wait and see. We've got loads of people watching this morning. Sunday really ticks people's boxes.
I've noticed the last time we did Sunday, it was very, very, very popular.
Yeah.
I feel as though they're all laying in their bed, reading their Daily Telegraph, eating crumpets. And that's not Freudian. And, it would be Freudian anyway.
Yeah, what do you mean, eating crumpets?
Crumpets also has got sexual annotations. Oh, look at that crumpet. Don't people say that? That's a bit of crumpet.
I say it.
Yeah. Like it's a sexual element about
it. Yeah, if I see a nice woman, I'll go, for that bit of crumpet.
There you go, absolutely. That's how I mean it. When I talk crumpets, I mean purely from the Tesco shelf that have, a moderate amount of Anchor blue cheese on it, and I just eat it. There's nothing sexist about it. It's just nutrition.
Okay, right. Now, let's choose the genre of the movie that you might be reviewing next week. The third genre. Over to you, David. Take your time to feel it. Feel it. Finley is winking at you.
So I'm winking back. Stop.
Family.
Okay.
Unlike Finley. Now choose the decade.
Stop.
2010s. Please, Finley, generate four family movies from the 2010s. He has done. He has done. And David, he's spinning the round in his bum, and it's over to you, David, to choose to tell him when to stop spinning.
Stop.
The Croods. Have you done that already?
I have. I have done yes. The Croods already.
Okay, then we go again.
Stop.
The BFG, Disney.
Oh, Spielberg's BFG.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be interesting. Definitely. Yeah.
Lovely. Okay, so we've got Patton, Pacific Rim Uprising, and the BFG, Spielberg's lovely. BFG. So, I've given them an A, I've given them a B, and a C. I've got each movie an A, a B, and a C. I've mixed them up, muddled them up a bit, or have I? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Have I this week? Who knows? And now it's over to you, David, to choose which movie you are going to review next week. A, B, or C?
A. No, let me think. Sorry, let me think.
Whoa.
I've never done that before, have I?
You've never done that before.
No, stick with A.
BFG.
Oh.
Ooh, how'd you feel?
Let's go with... I don't know why I suddenly changed my mind then. I had a moment of crisis.
Are you happy with that?
I am very happy. A bit of Spielberg. You cannot go wrong with that. Thank you.
Got Spielberg, David.
You can't go wrong with Spielberg.
Lovely.
Absolutely. At the moment, he's getting ready to film Bullet, isn't he? I don't think he's going to redo the Steve McQueen film, but he's going to take the character from Bullet with Bradley Cooper, which looks
awesome. This is nice from Tonka. He said, I got up for a piss and saw that this was on, so I thought, yeah, why not?
Absolutely. You empty your kidneys. And
exactly. Why not watch these two?
Yeah. Sunday's about just lounging around like a big old lizard watching some internet dross.
Hang on a minute. There's a little bit. Oh, whoa. People aren't happy. He said that you reviewed Croods 2 last night at time and not Croods 1.
Oh, right. I don't remember that. I thought it was just Croods.
No, I don't. John Bone is right on it.
Goodness me.
Sal Willis. He saw Croods 2 last time.
Flippity skip. What
do we do?
Well, we've got a time factor today, isn't it? Because it'd mean going all the way back. I mean, can John Bone meet us halfway with this one?
Yeah, okay, we made a mistake, but David has chosen BFG. We apologise, everyone. We won't ever do that again.
But, John, we appreciate your commitment and, encyclopedic knowledge there. Very impressive indeed.
We'll make sure when we pick the movies from now on, we'll make sure if there's an umming and ahhing, we'll ask the YouTube chat and they can say, yep, you're free to review this movie.
I didn't realise Croods was that much of a popular franchise. I mean, how many have there been? Yeah. Does John Bone know?
I don't know. I've really got to go. I'm late. I've
not
really got to go.
Captain,
I'm so sorry.
Thank you,
David,
for
it's been a joy seeing you as per. I really like doing it on a Sunday morning.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Nice vibes.
But, yeah, really nice vibes. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for downloading, subscribing. Really appreciate it. And please leave... what do we say? Please leave a review and all that business.
And a serial salute. But thank you for review. Thanks for your time. It's hugely appreciated.
Yes, it is.
Goes without saying. Thank you.
Cheers, everyone. Have a lovely Sunday, and we'll see you next week. See you next week, David.
Have some crumpet and cereal. See you next week. Cereal salute. Have a wonderful Sunday. Don't let the
crunch
on top of you.
Butter alligator disappear into the bread swamp.
Just pour it on top.